You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. Spirit of God, honor your word, your work, that the spirit that our Lord Jesus Christ would be found among us, in us, and about us, in all of his wonderment. That, Father, that by honoring our Lord, we honor and discover your wonderful person in a most personal way. So, Father, thank you very much. Thank you for caring. Help us even now. In Christ's name, amen. In our Sunday school study, we made a little effort, making some little effort, to remind ourselves about the local assembly of believers and the church. And the church is understood. It is the way we understand anything, is our experience, what we observe, what we understand, and the Presbyterian church over here and the Baptist church over here and what they do and this one does and the Congregational church and all the Catholic church, and they all do what they do. And we make a judgment call on what church is and isn't. We make a judgment call on how we value church, and being Christians means what, to whom, to what measure. And it's a real and in the big picture, the church is, as we know it, our churches are a huge distance different than God's. What God has spelled out, and God hasn't changed anything. Now, so here in John chapter 17, our Lord, in the upper room before he goes out to be crucified, makes this statement. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And as the Father had sent the Son, so the Son sends the believer in the same way, for the same reasons. Now, having said that, let me just put the pieces, in order to get to the piece over here, we're going to go, instead of jumping, big jump, we'll take little jumps, 1, 2, 3, 4, but not too little, to get over here, so that we get there properly. If you would, over to Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, you recall, you have the basis of the person and work of our Lord after his crucifixion. He's going to be crucified, and then he tells you they all want signs, remember, as you know, the context here and in chapter 16. People want signs to say, to validate, to prove something. And our Lord makes it very clear the only sign he is going to give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. And thus, verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, wrong motivation, and there shall no sign be given it to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So the only sign I'm going to give them is the sign of the resurrection. Now that's the basis. He's going to die and rise again. And then there's going to be a space where he's going to show the only sign he's going to show the world in this period of grace. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth, John 1:14. And when he is presented, he presents the grace of God, all God's wonderful working, we being totally unable to produce a rightness that God requires. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfills and brings that to us, a rightness that we don't have. That's called grace. We don't have it. We have no way to produce it. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in God's wonderful grace, and as you know, in it, without turning there, in John chapter 1:16, and God, when we receive the Lord as our Savior, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ full of grace and truth. And thus, the outworking of that relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart is to produce grace in place of grace, in place of grace, as we shared, like the waves of the ocean, endless grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace, provides grace. We're in an age of grace. Not wrath is coming, tribulation, but this is a time of grace, wonderful, wonderful grace. From where? From the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the grace for? To understand that he is the only Lord and the only Savior, and we need to know him. And the only sign he's going to give is to show his grace. He's going to show his grace in believers. Hang on. Now, and in doing so, he's going to show that in his risen work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and remember now when we speak of that, when if you want to go there just to illustrate it, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And remember the churches, one church per city, New Testament, that's all. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up, if I may, in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the first four words? Grace be unto you. And that's going to be at the top of every letter all the way to the end of 2 Thessalonians. You're going to say it over every time. You're going to say, grace be unto you, grace be unto you. So how can you, when you introduce and write to the church, the believing believers, what are you going to write? You're going to remind them that it's all about God's grace, and grace be to you, and that's what it's going to say every time. Now, having said that little bit, in order to show the wonderful grace of God, we're risen with Christ, Romans 6, 4 and 5. We're risen with Christ to show we die, we rise again, we're identified in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans 6, 4 and 5, we're to walk in newness of life. A whole new relationship, a brand new. Now, if you would, over in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And you would recall chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So you're going to be, not like Israel, located in Jerusalem. You're going to be all over the earth, a witness to me. You're going to show my personal, precious possession of you. You're going to demonstrate my wonderful work, my wonderful testimony that I have risen again, and you're going to do it by having life. What life? The life that I provided when I rose again from Calvary's cross. That life. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 32. All the way through now, but just going to pick a couple of places so you see it. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, among many, many wonderful truths, verse 31. And seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We are all witnesses. So the whole business now of the church is for what awesome, wonderful reason? To show the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is what it's all about in the first place. It doesn't go past that. It stays right on that target. Now, and that's the only sign he's going to give. And chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people, what was the problem? And preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. What's the one problem? They're always the same message. That was their whole assignment, to show life, the resurrected life, the only sign that God would give. Chapter 4, verse 33, imprisonment, all of that. Bottom line, here's the local assembly. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. So that's what they're doing. It's a wonderful one. The church is a wonderful, wonderful body. He's the head, representing a local body in a local city. Every city, locale, had its local assembly, one per city. No more than one. Now, in the light of that now, that's the assignment. Now I'm asking myself, I'm interested now, here's the local church assignment. Now I'm going to go and understand how God works. So I'm going to go back and remind myself about the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel left Egypt to go into the wilderness, to go into the land. And when it went into the land, on its way, Deuteronomy, may want to go there. Deuteronomy and chapter 2. On its way to the Jordan River, crossing the Jordan, they had occasion to confront and be in different locations, obviously. And they were reminded time and again. Chapter 2, verse 5 of Deuteronomy. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau as a possession. Don't you take one footprint in that land. The only place you're going is Jerusalem and the land. You cannot go anywhere else and try to possess it. Hang on. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. So, remember now, and I keep reading, we don't have to do so, chapter 19, verse 19 and all of it. You can't take any other place. You pass through it. The only place you're going is the land, Jerusalem. No place else. Hang on. That's what they were. And in going there, that they're going to have the, as we shared in Joshua, the 12 tribes are going to possess the land. Now the 12 tribes are going to possess that land that is set apart in God's lot, location for them in the land of Palestine. Now, were they to go out of Palestine? Nope, they can't go out of Palestine. They don't go out. Are we going to send missionaries? Nope, no missionaries. And here they are up there in Dan and all of that. And Dan up there in the north. I'm going to look at Dan up there in the north, and I'm going to come and visit them. Now, and Dan's going to tell me that we are Israelites. We are one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And as we are there, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord God, located in Jerusalem. Now, in Dan, you're up there, and I don't see anybody else. I just see Dan. Dan, you are required to relate to, not Antioch, not any other place. You are required to go to Jerusalem. How many times a year? Boom, 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 Passover. You're going to go to Jerusalem. All of you are going to have the same word, same book, same doctrine. You're going to have that, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't go out of the land. You're going to, and the only way, there you are, Dan. And Dan, you're pointing to whom up there? The tribe of Dan. We're pointing to Jerusalem, to who? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns on the throne in the temple in Jerusalem. We're pointing to that. Up there in Dan, am I going to know about Jerusalem? If you just, no. Dan, the only way you can fulfill your assignment as one of the 12 tribes is to point to and relate to Jerusalem. We have senators. A senator could come and be somewhere, a senator, and he says, I'm a senator, or she's a senator. They're senators, all right? The senator of what? And I'm a senator, and they could be legit. So what? No, the senator's authority and impact that he makes on you and me is that he points to what? To Washington, and he sits in the seat that is assigned to him in the Senate. And that's his assignment. All 12 tribes point to Jerusalem. That's where the Lord is. That's where the temple is. That's where they're to look. No other place. You only know Dan's wonderful testimony as it points to, as he goes to Jerusalem. The senator can only be known and understood where are all the, where the senator of what? Of who? Why are you a senator? I go to Washington to represent the people and the Senate, the building, etc. That's where I go. We're going to go to Jerusalem because it's all about the 12 tribes bearing testimony to Jerusalem in a most wonderful way. No expansion, no more land, no missionaries, nope. And in the light of that, the throne is there. Now God, that seems rather narrow. No. Israel's assignment was, Deuteronomy chapter 4, was to be a nation, God's nation, to show all the nations of the world that you worship God and his rule and reign. Tower of Babel, they scattered all the nations and they had their own religious systems, their own politic, and Israel was to show that all of that was wrong, They needed to honor the Creator God in and by found in Jerusalem. Can we go elsewhere? No, Lord, the whole assignment is to be a lighthouse. And in the millennium, is it going to change? No. What's the whole world going to know when things are right? He reigns in Jerusalem. Who reigns? The Lord God Almighty reigns in Jerusalem. That's what the people of the United States and South America, etc., that's what we're all going to know. All going to understand it with no questions at all. Now, having said that little bit, so that's the purpose. That's the purpose. So they didn't go anywhere. Say, what kind of thing is that? No, God is pointing to himself. Underline. God's pointing to himself, not to the tribes. The tribes are pointing to him. Where is he? In Jerusalem, in the temple. Now, God, how about yourself? How about yourself? Well, looking at you, God, what did you do? Well, you had 3 1/3 years or so of public life. And you always, do you remember him going over to China? Do you remember our Lord's little journey to England? He only went one place. Palestine, his center, the center, Jerusalem, the temple, that's the center. He emphasized it, he showed it without any question. Do you understand that? No question at all. That's what he did. You wonder what he did? That's what he did. That's what he did in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So in the process of that, he pointed to God the Father, that who he was, and everyone needed to focus, not on a divided, confusing situation, but on a very clear, simple understanding. There's how many suns during the day? On a bright, sunny day, how many suns are in the sky? Only one sun. Only one. So that we can see. How many suns? We don't have a confusion or a debate about which sun are you talking about? There's only one. Only one. That's all. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so our Lord Jesus Christ said, and without turning there, he always went to the Father. He said, oh, everything I do nothing of myself. You might as well turn there, it's easy to see. John chapter 5, you know it. It's all over the place, but John chapter 5. I do nothing of myself, John 5. And picking up verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So as my Father sent me, so send I you. What are you going to do? You're going to do just like I did. How can you represent the Father? How can you represent God the Father without me? I'm the Son. You go as sons to represent me back to the Father. You show me, and when you show the Lord Jesus Christ, you're showing the Father who sent him. Now, and you can keep reading, you don't have to do all that at this point. And everything, and he always did, chapter 8, John chapter 8, our Lord, you want to know, what's his assignment? It wasn't to run around. It was to bear record to who God is in the place that God had chosen to show himself to the whole world, Jerusalem. And he never went anywhere else. The Jews didn't go anywhere else. That was their assignment. The 12 tribes, all pointing to Jerusalem, to the temple, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was their Lord They were the his nation, special nation. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So that's my assignment. And that's what he did in a most wonderful way. He represented God the Father. Did he represent anybody else? Nope. He represented the God who sent him in a most wonderful way. And therefore, in representing him in a way in Jerusalem, Jerusalem in the temple. Now, and so when we receive him as our Savior, God, here we are. Now, I got it. Israel, I understand, God, how you work. You're God and everything around you, and you're to shine forth by way of Israel to the temple, by way of our Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity, shine forth. The only sign I'm going to give him is the resurrection, life, Jesus Christ, risen again. How's it going to show? How are you going to do that? I'm going to take whosoever's that are set apart, I'm going to set them apart to honor my wonderful person. That's what I'm going to do. I'm the head, they're the body. Hang on to that, as you know. Now, having said that, so here he is looking, and here we are looking to the Lord. Now, God, what are you going to do? You're going to, over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you recall the wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God is to place the believing believer in the person of Jesus Christ in his body. That's what his job is. And so that there's only one body, many ways to show it, local churches. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12. For the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body still. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized, placed into, immersed into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. So it's one. One, 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 like you think of Sunday school. The seven indivisible, you can't change them. All one, one. It's oneness, a unique oneness. That's right. A unique oneness. And we're to have that unique oneness. Chapter 6. And chapter 6, having that oneness, we're going to go and remind ourselves that that oneness is an awesome oneness. Chapter 6, verse 19. What know ye not, that your body is the temple? That's personal. Personal heart, your temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So it's all about God being God in the heart of the believing believer. And that's all about that. And that's what the Spirit of God does. He places us in the person of Christ to show. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And that's the individual believers. And then you go to the local church itself in Corinth. And in chapter 3, if I may, picking up in verse 16. Know ye not that you are, this is plural, not singular, that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And if a man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So God, here we are, believers, individual and collectively believers, a temple of God, temple, but verse chapter 6, verse 19, we're with the temple. Chapter 3, verse 16, we're part of the temple. the church body representing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what that is. Now, so we're supposed to be that. And we're to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Everything has become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is great advantage. To have more. So what's my whole purpose? Well, the whole purpose is to be able to enjoy the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. That's why you got saved. You got saved to have fellowship with God, to know God as your personal Savior, to have a relationship to God, like in 1 Corinthians 6, and I will be a father to them. I will be in them, among them, and about them. I will be their God, personal, publicly, assembly. Christ is the head of the assembly. That's right. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, again, that which you're familiar with, but lock it in. Ephesians, may I pick up, please, in verse chapter 1, verse 22. And God hath put all things under his feet, our Lord Jesus Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things. He's the head to the church. And then you don't have to guess, no guessing. Verse 23, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church, which is his body, a unique, awesome oneness. That's right. That's right. Spirit of God did that. That's what makes it so awesome. So that one body reflects one person, Jesus Christ. So that local church reflects whom? Supposed to, in Ephesus, Antioch, Jerusalem. So when here's the believers out here. The believer says, I'm a believer. A believer. But that isn't any more effective than the senator out there. The believer, the senator, needs to see, the people need to see, he's related to the Senate that makes all the decisions for the country. The believer belongs to the body. The church, Christ Jesus. The believer has no testimony running around. If you disconnect from the local church, do you understand that? What are you pointing to? I'm a believer. Point to something. What, believer, what's that mean? Someone else says, I'm a believer, and I'm a believer. What's the difference between you? I am telling you, the local assembly is where he is located. We are his body. The pot, the liver, the pancreas, the everything belongs in the body. So the pancreas out here says, I'm a pancreas. Whose pancreas? The body's pancreas. Whose kidney? The kidney, the body's kidney. That's how you can identify the pancreas. Whose is it? It belongs to the local body representing Jesus Christ. Get rid of the body, there's no way. It's just a pancreas. You can't have it. That's why we got such a huge mess, not only in our country, but even worse in other countries that haven't even got close, apart from little jungle something out there where the dear believers have just honored God's word and God has blessed them. But in the normal system out there, Philippines, China, India, what do you got? Lots of religion, lots of churches of some kind. What else? Zero. You haven't got anything. But we're all happy with, not you, but people are all happy because that's what we understand. But that isn't anything that God said. He didn't ever say that. He never even inferred that. We're the ones that did all this, the system that we live in, did it. So now, in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And picking up in the light of the context and everything, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. For we are, 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. How personal can you get? How personal? You can't get more personal. That's my body. My body is in one place, not 20 places. I want you to show my body, not my pancreas. I want the parts to all point to the pancreas, the kidneys, and the spleen. Point to the local assembly. That's where the body is. They're all together, the local church body. That's what it's supposed to be. And it represents the Lord Jesus Christ. It's supposed to. Rare there, but that's what it is. And people don't want it. They don't want to understand. Now, in the light of that, over in the light of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what? The hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So God, what on earth are we supposed to be doing? And we shared it together over chapter Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. We this Sunday school, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy, balance the scale of your vocation, your calling. That's what you're called to. We share that. Whereof you are called. God called you to himself to represent him, his resurrected life. The only sign he's going to give is his resurrection. And so therefore, when we receive him as our Savior, we go and preach the Lord's death till he comes. And who's preaching it? Those who have been made alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now, thus God's calling in Christ, in his body, as his body, for his body. And it isn't about a lot of people all being together. No, people do, and people are all disconnected, great big crowds assembled together in Muslims. Just think of the Muslims lined up, bowing down by the thousands. It isn't about that. No, it isn't about that. It isn't about numbers, nope. That's all disconnected. I want to show connection. The believers have been baptized, placed into, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, placed into the body. So when they come together, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to show that to the world. That's his ministry. You and I don't know it, but if we have the right attitude and the right understanding, boy, there'd be no trouble coming to church. None whatsoever. The problem is we don't understand it. We think it's like going to the market, joining the boys' club, joining a gym, an organization. You go one organization, what difference does it make? We aren't talking about an organization. We're talking about a body. We're talking about the person of Jesus Christ and being personally indwelt by him and he placing you in his wonderful person right here and now. So when we're together like this, God does his most holy, wonderful thing in a most wonderful way. Therefore, and it can't be disconnected. It has to be connected. Over, if you would please, over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, going directly in the light of the context again. What are you going to say? Over and over again in one way or another, don't go. Verse 24, 10:24, Hebrews. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So, God, we're obligated. That's right. We're absolutely obligated. I belong to the body. The body's there. I don't leave. When I came over, I didn't leave. I didn't leave my left hand, my right hand. I brought my left hand and my right hand. I brought them with me. I don't go anywhere without my body. Do you? Wherever you go, you take your body, because it's you. And how can, if I take your head off, take your head off, and I'm going to line the bodies up. Use your imagination. Now, without the head, I'm going to put the same robe on them. Who is who? You don't know without the head. That body represents the head, a given head of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can do it. The body, the part in the body represents the head. Not the part, it's part of the body, but it isn't the body in its totality for its testimony. It isn't. No matter how you cut the cookie, it isn't going to come out. So now, in the light of that, looking at that, if you would, and keeping that in mind as you look to God and to God to help us. Now, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you know it, I'm just going to read it. All kinds of plays, I'm just going to take one of them. The church in Corinth. Church had problems in Corinth. They had to get straightened out in a whole lot of areas, comparatively, compared to Ephesus. So here's 1 Corinthians, and picking up, if I can, in verse 24. I'll leave verse 23. If therefore the whole church come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, languages, and there be some in those that are unlearned, or unbelievers, they don't know, will they not say they are mad, they're crazy? You're making a whole lot of noise about a whole lot of things. It isn't clear. But, 24, if you all prophesy God's word, God's will, and there come in one that believeth not, or an unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. How is that? God does it. God. We didn't do it. God does it. Verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report, what's he going to say about the assembly? That God is in you of a truth. God is in you of a truth. Wow. That's what they're supposed to get when you go to church, to see God in the believers assembled together representing the body, our Lord Jesus Christ. People come, they're all over the place. We aren't going to fix that. Just hope we can get a remnant that wants to get saved, stay saved, and run the race all the way to the end. That's all you're going to do now. The rest of it, no, people are going to do, they come and go, and they don't want. They don't want what we're just doing, because that's so radical. But it's God's will, and that's what he's saying. What we do out here in our world is what we do. There's no way God has said, well, I'll have another plan. I'll allow for your plan. He doesn't allow for any plan. There's only one, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all he's going to do, is to show that. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so the local body of believers points to the Lord Jesus Christ, the head. And each part of the body points to the local body, which points to the head, the body in its totality. And God, in your wonderful working and what you're doing, you're doing all of that, and so we're going to come, and they worship God in the Spirit and truth, and we just read it. Look at the end of verse 25, if you're still there, of a truth, for real. I'll say it a different way. I went there in Corinth, and for real, God was there. Really, God was there. Isn't that great? Really, God was there of a truth. Wow. But you got to have that. You got to understand. How can you even possibly, you know, people come and go, and I know they do. You ought to understand why we're here. What is our assignment? It isn't to go to work. It isn't to go to school. It isn't to go and make money and have a little religious expression. It isn't about that. It's your life. This is your life. And we're just little nobodies saved by God's grace to demonstrate His wonderful person. And the more we demonstrate it, the more we honor it with understanding, the greater will be the benefits. Because you're trying to answer. We're going to do sabotage and all that stuff. trying to find refuge and trying to, in a very dumb world, all caught up in fears, stupid fears, fed for political and monetary reasons. All over the place. And I got dear simple people saying, boy, it's going to warm and we're going to melt. Oh, pretty soon, the Atlantic Ocean will be over Hartford, Connecticut. Wow. Listen, these are dear people on the news. I said, I don't believe. You couldn't really say that, could you? They did. They don't have any idea. I'm going to tell you. Now, so therefore, God, help us. God, you ever hear the, God, what do we know? Well, you placed us in your wonderful body as a believer. That's an awesome thing. I'm part of the body of Christ. I have life, His life, in order to share, experience that because of His wonderful presence, because of being in the body. That's our assignment, to be witnesses, Judea, Jerusalem, and the uttermost part of the world. And so, God, we're in your body, that's right, and we're what? We're working out your so great salvation, Philippians 2:12, work out your so wonderful salvation that you did for us, and it's your working, verse 13, it's your working in our little heart to make it all happen. That's right. So God, I want that. Don't you want that? You're saved? Don't you want that? God, I want you working. For what? To be fulfilled. Ephesians 2:10, we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. God, before I was ever born, you have a wonderful plan for my life. And that's what I want, in the body. How could I have anything more than that? It's just to be in the body, in your wonderful person. And God, you're going to do everything. That's right. That's right. And people don't like it. The devil doesn't like it. The world system says we don't like that. It doesn't make any difference. God, like our Lord, He zeroed in His perfect humanity on who you are and honored you. And you honored Him. We, as the Father sent Him, so He sends us. And we honor Him and look to Him as the head in order that the Father might be honored. That's what we're doing. That's our assignment. It isn't just to go to work, go to school, make money, have money. You're in a world right now, I don't see it as stable. I see a very unstable world, monetary, economically, politically, socially, morally. It's an unstable world. And we're facing the result of that. So God, here we are looking to you to deal with us in a most wonderful way. And therefore, God, your purpose and plan is wonderful. God, you're going to say it to us again. I am. All things work together for good. To them that love me and are called according to my purpose. And that good is that you be conformed to the image of my Son. That's what I want. I don't want you to get a big pay raise and be a CEO. No, I want to change your insides to show myself. I want you to enjoy in the wonderful fullness I have made possible to be my Son, as my Son. That's what I want.
That's what I want. I want to be your father.
Do you remember the Three Musketeers or whatever it is? One for all, and all for one, right? Something like that? One for all and all for one. Christ, one, all, Christ for all, and all for Christ. All for Christ. Christ for all. Wow. One for all and all for Christ. It's the way it is. And then we go back to the routines and forget all about it. You have to be driven. Too bad it wasn't across the land. But it isn't going to be. When I come, Luke 18, will I find the body of truth residing in my people? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. No. The church is going to be saved. That is, real believers are going to be saved. They have to be believers. No question. No matter what the mess is, if you're saved, you're saved. But you better be saved by the person of Jesus Christ. And God, here we are, and we're looking to you. So deal with us according to your grace and your mercy. That's all we can ask, God. Help us to get a hold of it, to grab it. Are all? No, no. Will a handful? Maybe, maybe, maybe. Do people want it? No, no, don't want it. Think of how it limits your life. I have this, I have my plan, am I righteousness, am I this? And you lost all that when he took over and he became your life. For his will, his work. So we don't louse it up, pollute it, or something else. Come and go. Listen, when was the last time you shared, you even made clearly your saving relationship to Jesus Christ so that people understand around you, I'm saved because, not just I go to church. I'm saved because why? Because a wonderful God died and rose again, and I received him as my Savior. I'm a new creature in Christ. I don't deserve one drop of it. I'm a son. I don't deserve it. Ever. Never, 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 never. I'm just so glad. I'm in. I'm not out. I'm in the body. Not out of the body. I'm part of it. You're part of it. How are you going to beat that? All the rest is a lot of activity, a lot of talk, lots of little studies. But where do they go? You want to enjoy. I want you to enjoy the wonderment of being saved. And that's what the church is. And when you went to the church in Antioch, boy, you knew it. When you went to the church in Jerusalem, you knew it. Even in Corinth, you knew it. You did. Wow. Thank you for your patience. I hope you see it. You can't do it without the local body. You can't be a testimony to who he is in his fullness apart from the local body. You can't do it. Pancreas has no identification. It has to be in the body. Without it, do whatever you want. It isn't going to work. Never going to work. It isn't true. We got them all coming and going. They don't know. And the people that probably should be here aren't, for who knows what reason. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your kindness. Deal with us according to your goodness. God, all we can do is even try to see it. Try to come to grips with understanding, to appreciate what you made possible by your death, burial, and resurrection. And so, our Father, as you sent our Lord, so, our Lord, you send us. just like you, totally dependent on you and thus on the Father for all of His goodness, to be about the Father's business in the business way that honors you, our Heavenly Father. And our God will thank you. Thank you very much. For in Christ's name, amen.